Greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to be back for a special midweek edition. I had to be gone last weekend. I happened to be traveling. I was in Portlandia, Portland, Oregon. Now, I may revisit that later. Interesting town. I wouldn't say interesting, actually, but it's a town. That's for sure. But it's great to be back, and I had to squeeze in a midweek edition here because there's nothing I like better than getting together with you people, and especially my extremely attractive audio engineer, of course, in studio as always. All right. Now, I want to start with from the Big Tyranny File. The Big Tyranny File, I said. Yes, a lot of people are concerned about big government. I'm not so concerned with big government as I am with tyrannical government. And our government happens to be big and tyrannical. How do I know that? Well, I've got a report here in my hands from CNS News, an outstanding conservative news outlet, by the way, cnsnews.com. I will link to the story on the blog so that you people can familiarize yourself with all the goings on over at CNS News. It's a great website. Get a lot of my material from them. There has been a report issued. Let's see here. The Bureau of Labor Statistics, part of the big tyrannical government, they've released a report. Well, they just released the data. It's not really a report. The CNS News just put it all together. The bottom line is, in 2018, on average, Americans spent more on taxes than they did on food, clothing, and health care combined. That's right, yeah. In 2018, the last year for which data is available, on average, Americans paid about $19,000 in state, federal, local taxes, about $19,000. Food, clothing, and health care rang in at about $15,000. So significantly more on taxes than on... Oh, by the way, and that includes property taxes. Property taxes, and then other tax. They say they've got listed here federal income tax, state income tax, local income tax, property taxes, and other taxes. I don't know what that's. I guess that's probably sales tax. I don't know. Anyway, on average, we're paying $4,000 more a year in taxes than we are. I didn't do the math on this, but that's got to be like 20% more on taxes than we do on food, clothing, and healthcare all put together, indicating that we are being victimized by a big tyranny, a big, wasteful, tyrannical government. But what are we going to do? What are you going to move somewhere else? No, I'm not going to move somewhere. I'm not going to Canada. I'm not going to New Zealand. No, I'm going to stay right here in America, and we're going to try to fix this thing together, okay, folks? We'll keep working on it. I'll do my part here behind the microphone. And I'll just go out there and keep producing more and more value for the economy. And I'll just have to pay more and more taxes. And I'll just have to deal with it. And so will you. We just have to deal with it. Because this is still the best place to be on Earth. I mean, even Portland is better than most. Well, maybe not Portland. Here's the thing about Portland. Oregon has legalized drugs. And so the whole city smells of pot smoke and damp flannel. I don't know how else to put it. Anyway, I'll come back to Portland maybe later. Let's go to the Joker. The big news this week amongst the populace is the release of this new Joker movie. It's a movie. I don't think I've watched a movie in about 10 years. Could be a little longer. It's been a long time since I imbibed of theater. Not big on movies. I long ago, I lost the ability to suspend disbelief. And now when I watch a movie, I think these people are acting. This is stupid. What am I doing? It's almost as bad as dancing. But so the Joker movie is coming out in a couple of days. This week it's going to be released. And the Warner Brothers Studios, there's been some concern over the release of the film because they're afraid that some angry young man might shoot up a theater like what happened back in 2012 when they released a previous Joker movie, The Dark Knight. And there was a mass slaughter at a theater in Aurora, Colorado. And by the way, the fellow who committed that crime, he's still alive. In fact, I'm paying to have him medicated and educated, air conditioning in the summer, heat in the winter, food, clothing, health care. I'm paying for it. So because he wasn't executed swiftly and painfully, now people are worried that it might happen again. And yeah, it might happen again. It might happen again. So the studio, Warner Brothers Studios, actually was sent a letter by the families of the victims of the 2012 mass shooting. And the families are concerned that the release of this movie could, they say it could incite similar violence. Yeah. And so what does Warner Brothers Studios say about that? They say that this Joker movie is designed to, quote, provoke difficult conversations around complex issues. But they insist that the movie does not glorify the character, the Joker. Now, if we remember back to fifth grade, back when we read comic books, the Joker is a bad guy, right? Joker was one of the bad guys. Although I never got into DC Comics. I found DC Comics to be dark and cold. I was a Marvel Comics man myself. Spider-Man and the Incredible Hulk. No Superman and no Batman for me. No. In fact, the DC Comics, yeah. Anyway, I was just never impressed. Well, now, this entire movie is about how the Joker became the Joker, I think. From what I've read. I've only read this one article here that I downloaded from some British website. Okay. UK.IGN.com. I don't know what that is. So, but the headline caught my attention because it says, "Is Joker a dangerous movie?" And now let's set aside the possibility that some angry young man might shoot up the theater. That's, yes, that's definitely a possibility. But besides that, The Joker is a dangerous movie. It's a bad movie for young people to go see. And for the studio to insist that they're not glorifying the Joker, well, when you make a movie about somebody, you're glorifying them. I'm sorry. That's, in fact, that's the definition of glorifying. Now, even if you include all the warts and all the bad and you don't make him look, it's still, you're glorifying him. You're making a movie about him, for crying out loud. And so I have no idea what the plot of the movie is. I have no idea who's in the movie except the lead actor, Joaquin Phoenix. I only have that because I have a quote from him. But I have no idea what the plot is or anything, but I can guarantee you the movie is grossly immoral. And it's bad. It will be a bad influence, particularly on young men. That's just a wild guess that could be. So I recommend you don't go see The Joker, and not just because you don't want to get shot at a midnight showing. That's just one of the reasons. There are numerous other reasons. So asked, Joaquin Phoenix was asked in an interview about the idea of making a movie about a bad guy. Is that, and basically glorifying this bad guy. They asked him if he had a problem with that. Well, apparently not. I mean, he starred in the movie, so he doesn't have too big of a problem with it, especially if you give him like $20 million or whatever they paid him. But he is quoted as saying, Joaquin Phoenix says, quote, "It's not the responsibility of a filmmaker to teach the audience the difference between right and wrong." That, he actually said that. And I would disagree strongly with Mr. Phoenix. That it is it's the responsibility of all of us at all times to teach everyone the difference between right and wrong, and even more so if you're making a movie that especially young people are going to see. It's going to have a formative influence on their mind. I mean, how many of us can think back to when we were between the ages of 10 and 20 years old and think of the movies we saw and what a dramatic impact they had on our lives. The movies have a tremendous influence. I remember one movie had a significant influence on my behavior between the ages of 10 and 20, and that was Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That had a tremendous influence, not just on me, but on a lot of my friends. We wanted to be like that. We wanted to live a life like that. We wanted to be Jeff Spicoli with a surfboard. And so this, for Joaquin Phoenix to say that it's not his responsibility to teach people the difference between right and wrong, that just indicates that he's not qualified to teach people the difference between right and wrong, because he doesn't know the difference between right and wrong, because what he just said right there is wrong. Well, there you go. But what do you expect from a vacuous Hollywood actor? Joaquin Phoenix. Get out of here with that. Anyway, why do people watch comic book movies? I don't understand it. I mean, I read comic books when I was 11. But I think by the time I was about 14, I had moved on from comic books. And now they're making blockbuster movies, and some of the top grossing films of all time are these comic book movies. Anyway, I think it's just a sign of the degeneration of the average American intellect that we'd rather sit around and watch comic book movies than read things that are interesting and compelling and meaningful.
Comic book is not exactly reading either.
No, comic book. Well, if you're 11, you can read some comic books. I can understand the fascination.
That's not a reading either. It's mostly...
Well, I'm talking about reading actual books. Anyway, we will not be in the theater. Me and my kids, my extremely attractive audio engineer, will not be in the theaters as The Joker comes out this week. And it's not only because we're afraid of being shot, although that is one reason. I will agree that... All right, so let's move on from The Joker. And we got a story here from the New York Post about gluten. Gluten, I said. Yeah. I was listening to a comedian. He said the doctor told him he should stop eating gluten. And he said, you know what gluten is in? Everything! At least everything good. according to a new study, this is an actual study, by the way, this gluten-free craze, according to a new study, there are zero health benefits to eating a gluten-free diet for most people. No way! I would have never thought that. This study was published in the Gastroenterology Journal. So this is a real study. It's the first ever double randomized controlled trial in an attempt to prove exactly what is a gluten-free diet good for, what does it help, what is it? Is it any? It apparently has no effect on most people, except the placebo effect. So if you think it makes you feel better, there's a good chance you'll actually feel better. Yeah, believing makes a difference. So anyway, according to this article from the New York Post, the American gluten-free products market was valued at $2.7 billion in 2018. That's big business. Now, they do point out that gluten-free foods cost as much as 140% more than wheat-based products. So one thing is for sure, when you buy gluten-free, you're definitely paying a lot more money. And is it 140% harder to get the gluten out of there? I think they start with ingredients that don't have gluten. It's like, hey, let's make bread, but let's use, well, I don't know what they use, but tree bark? What do they use? I mean, I've tasted some of those muffins. They're not exactly, I certainly wouldn't pay more for a gluten-free muffin because it feels like it doesn't have the right texture. I don't know. Plus, I don't have celiac disease, and celiac disease is really, really rare. And by the way, 5,000-6,000 years of human civilization, bread has been called the staff of life. Anyway, but hey, you know what? If it makes you feel better, then I'm happy for you. But understand that it's probably not an actual physiological effect. It's probably just more evidence that our mind is just as important in the state of our health as our gut. Yeah, I gotta wipe the sweat off my brow, Billy. Wow. Man, now that's a bumper right there. That might be my favorite one. Like that one. All right, now, I've got an interesting tale here. Should I go back to Portland?
No.
Is that anything? Yeah, hey, there's just one thing I want to say about Portland. I mean, God bless Portland, Oregon, but there was more unattractive people living in Portland than any other city I've ever been in. I think I only saw one other clean-shaven man the whole time I was there. And that was at a Jersey Mike's sub. So I'm in a Jersey Mike's sub shop because I don't really want to, I really don't want to get into the local Portland thing because...
What are they known for?
Yeah, what is Portland known for?
Trail mix?
Trail mix, maybe? That might be... I don't know. Anyway, so I'm not really... What's that?
Heroin?
Yeah, that's it. Heroin and trail mix, I think. So I'm not really interested in the getting into the local scene. So I go to a Jersey Mike's because I know what to expect. And plus, for $15, you get dinner that night and lunch the next day with that giant Italian sub. If you haven't had one of those, highly recommend. And Jersey Mike doesn't, they don't even advertise on the show. Only because we don't allow advertisers. We simply don't tolerate them. But I'm in Jersey Mike's. I go in and there's a couple there, and one of them is obviously a very strung out man dressed up as a woman talking with an extreme lisp. Just going on, he asked that. Now the guy behind the counter, clean cut guy, large, muscular, in shape, clean shaven, smells like, well, I can't smell him, which is different from most of the other people I encountered in Portland. Anyway, so I don't know what to describe this person. It's mentally ill, homosexual, with really bad makeup and very pale skin and just hollowed eyes. Just looks like death warmed over in a very raggedy dress. And it's a guy, right? And just going on and on about himself. And he asked the guy behind the counter, "So are you guys hiring?" So, and the guy behind the counter said, "Oh, well, we're always hiring. Would you like me to get an application?" She's like, "No." Oh, did I say she? I did. See? It gets very confusing out there. It was a boy dressed as a girl.
Okay.
Very strung out, very unhealthy, and looking for a gig at Jersey Mike. I don't think that one's going to work out, sweetheart. I think maybe just move on. So anyway, I debated, should I say something to this person? Should I just say, "Hey, you know, why are you dressed up as a girl when you're obviously a man?" But I didn't. I didn't say it because I just wanted to get a sub and get out of there. Get back to my Airbnb. Get back to the smell of pot smoke and damp flannel. Anyway. All right. Now the Guardian in London is reporting that an early Renaissance masterpiece has been discovered in a kitchen in a town outside of Paris. The painting is apparently painted by the Florence-born Cimabue, also known as Cini di Pepo. He's an early Italian Renaissance painter. This painting, dating from somewhere in the 1200s, they think right around, where is it here? Around 1280 AD. This painting was hanging between her open-plan kitchen and her living room, directly above a hot plate where she cooked her food. And it's been hanging there since sometime in the 1960s. Anyway, they say the painting was in good condition. It was painted on wood by Cimabue. I'm not familiar with the artist. The painting is called Christ Mocked. Christ Mocked. So they say it's a part of what's called a diptych, a part of a large diptych dating from 1280, when Cimabue painted 8 scenes depicting Christ's passion and crucifixion. 2 scenes from the same diptych, known as the Virgin and Child with 2 angels and the Flagellation of Christ, are already hanging in the National Gallery in London and the Frick Collection in New York, respectively. So this is back during a time when people weren't obsessed with comic book characters, and they painted things that are interesting and important, like, scenes from the Bible. So my, how times have changed in the roughly, 700 years? Am I right on that? 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 800 years. Not quite. 700 years and change. Things have been circling the drain. All right. Well, there's been ebbs and flows since the 1280s, and we're now at the Joker. So do you think 700 years from now, anybody's going to be interested in the Joker? I don't know. I hope not. I hope we get over all this at some point. Okay. Meanwhile, did you guys know that it's China's birthday? The People's Republic of China was founded on October 1st, 1949, and so China had a big military parade. A giant military parade. In fact, the MSN, Microsoft Network, calls it a supersized 70th anniversary military parade. That's right. They had 70 helicopters, 15,000 military personnel, 160 fighter bombers all marching down the street. Giant parade to celebrate the day when a criminal gang took about 1 billion people hostage and murdered tens of millions of them. That's what they're celebrating. A criminal gang taking a nation hostage is what happened. And so, MSN reports, and for the first time, there were even 2 Chinese female generals. General, girl, females. Are you sure they identified as females? How dare MSN even use a gender-specific term like that? So the editor would probably be fired for call. Anyway, so MSN, instead of reporting on the fact that tens of millions of people have been murdered by this butcherous regime, this criminal gang that kidnapped a nation, they point out that there's 2 Chinese generals and they're girls. That's just great, MSN. But now we'd expect that from MSN, right? Because they're a bunch of leftists. Well, I hate to break this to you people. The National Review reports that President Donald Trump marked the 70th anniversary of the People's Republic with the following congratulatory tweet. Congratulations to President Xi and the Chinese people on the 70th anniversary of the People's Republic of China. That's our president and what passes now as conservatism. Donald Trump is a dolt. He's a moron. How can you congratulate a criminal gang for taking hostage and murdering millions and millions of people? It's just if you're a dope, a dunce, a lightweight. National Review does point out that Chairman Mao's great leap forward killed perhaps 45 million people. China denies its people freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and commits forced abortion. National Review. I'm not a big fan of National Review. I know they're never Trumpers. I understand that. But these are the facts. I double-checked the tweet. Trump actually congratulated China. Stunning shocking, despicable, shameful, and just really, really stupid, Mr. President. He doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. He's not qualified. He's certainly not qualified to lead what was the greatest nation on the face of the planet. And the only hope for the tens of millions of Chinese who are enslaved right now, today, in China. America was their only hope. Well, not, no longer. And this Hong Kong, a protester was actually shot in the chest. I haven't been able to see if the protester died. But the Chinese police apparently shot and killed a protester, finally, in the growing Hong Kong protests. And things are going to come to a head there, I do believe. And I believe that America will not be there for the people of Hong Kong. I believe America has checked out of its leadership role as leader of the free world. I don't believe that's the case anymore. Now we're just, hey, let's make a deal. Can we make a deal? If we can make a deal with China, we'll make a deal. Make a deal with Iran, we'll make a deal. Let's make a deal. Oh, you're a murderous criminal gang holding people hostage, enslaving them, and murdering them? Okay, can we make a deal? Maybe you could buy some of our rice and corn. All right, so there you go. There's your another low watermark in the Trump presidency. All right. Meanwhile, Iran has issued a death sentence for an individual that they accuse of spying for the United States. Iranian courts also issued jail terms for individuals Tehran accuses of spying for the United States and the United Kingdom. This article goes through a few of the details. So the person who's sentenced to death for allegedly spying for the United States. In fact, let's say he was spying for the United States. Let's say he was. Let's assume he was. And now he's been sentenced to death by a murderous terrorist regime who's basically held Persia hostage for 40 years. He's appealed his death sentence. I don't know how that works in Iran. Generally doesn't work out very well if you're sentenced to death in Iran, especially for spying for the United States. Iran says that there was a whole team of spies, agents were identified. They've said they caught these people spying on Iran's nuclear and defense centers. Well, good. I hope we've got some spies on the ground there. I mean, it's not good they got caught. I'm glad we're spying on Iran. And these, if these are the facts, then these are heroes. These are our spies. We're the good guys. Iran is the bad guys, at least in this instance. So these are heroes worthy of a rescue operation, if at all possible. But I doubt that will happen. But I do wonder if Trump will call the mullahs on April 1st to congratulate them on the founding of their Islamic Republic. Think he'll get on the phone? Anyway, just disgusting. All right, now that brings me to this whole impeachment thing. I don't want to address it too much because I don't really find it all that intellectually stimulating. It's ludicrous and ridiculous. I'm shocked that I was actually taken aback when Adam Schiff stood up and basically made up what he thought was in this phone call between Donald Trump and the comedian president of Ukraine. But I think Adam Schiff, basically leftist politicians in general, not just Adam Schiff, they have the ability now to take advantage of the fact that people generally aren't paying full attention to anything anymore. And the leftist media is willing to repeat what he read into the federal record as if it were true, even though he just made it up. He literally made it up right there on the spot. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say about the impeachment. I could care less if Donald Trump gets impeached. I think he's a moron, and I think all of you people who supported him are going to end up very embarrassed about it. Okay, that's a prediction I made several years ago. And then Bernie had a heart attack. Or we don't know if Bernie had a heart attack. Bernie had heart issues. He got two stents put in. So anyway, I've known a bunch of people, and people are counting him out of the race at this point. They're saying, oh, Bernie's out. No, Bernie's not out. I've known people who get these stents. They feel great. They feel revived. They don't realize that their heart's been starving for, their whole body's been starving for oxygenated blood for however long the artery's been clogged. You get that stent put in there, man, it's like getting four brand new tires on your car. You're just feeling awesome. So I think not only is Bernie not out, I think Bernie will be back, and he'll be more leftist, more socialist, more crazy than ever. And you just can't count Bernie out. And stents, I mean, they're fantastic. They're wonderful. But again, more evidence that our God is a very merciful God. The fact that Bernie is allowed to live another day on the planet and spew his socialist crap trap all over the political stage. He's going to be with us for another year. He's going to be with us for another two. And he might even get elected and spend 4 years in the White House. All right, we're back. It's the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for sticking with us. Hey, that reminds me, that sax solo reminds me, I went back to Clyde's Prime Rib there in Portland. Those of you who've been listening to the show for some time, you know that I started a weight loss regimen about a year ago, November of last year. And I can't even remember why I was in Portland, but I was in Portland. And I told the story of coming up the hill there in Portland and seeing giant letters, each letter the size of a man. And I was hungry, and it said Prime Rib. And so I went in, and there was a cover band in there playing rock and roll. Anyway, I went back to Clyde's, and there was a jazz quartet this time. So not quite as entertaining as the last time, but the saxophone player was very good. She was a really good saxophone player. Unfortunately, she was playing jazz. So it sounded, you know, it wasn't entertaining, but she definitely could hit all the notes, and she could play a lot of notes quickly sometimes, which is a sign of a good saxophone player. And I had the fried chicken, by the way, at Clyde's Prime Rib, and it's pretty good. So if you're in Portland, if the smell of pot smoke and damp plaid, I'm sorry, I meant damp flannel, but yeah, it's all plaid too. So, anyway, if that doesn't ruin your appetite, swing by Clyde's. The fried chicken isn't bad. Okay, so we go now from Portlandia. We go to the personhood file where, this is one of the reasons I haven't watched a movie in so many years is because movies are generally immoral and corrupt. And I know that they have some kind of angel software you can buy that, like, cleans them up. But that just takes out the really, really filthy parts and the dirty words. It doesn't clean up the overall anti-Christ storylines that are woven throughout these stories. So we just don't partake, that's all. But I've got a story here about Planned Parenthood. The Washington Post reports they spoke with Karen Spruck, Spruch, Karen Spruck, a Planned Parenthood bureaucrat who is educating your children if you consume Hollywood propaganda, movies and the like. So she estimates that Planned Parenthood has advised on more than 150 movies and TV shows since they first began to make efforts to weave their storylines into various movies and television programs. Writers who have relied on her advice say they feel a secret kinship with one another. That's Hollywood writers and child murderers feel a secret kinship with one another. She says... She says, we could see hints of her in all... I'm sorry, one of the writers says, we could see hints of her, that's Karen Spruck, Planned Parenthood bureaucrat who collaborates with Hollywood writers. We could see hints of her in all the TV shows coming out, says Jillian Robespierre, writer-director of some Hollywood tripe that I won't even name. She says, yeah, Karen is really wonderful. She's like Planned Parenthood's secret weapon. That's what this writer actually wrote. And the Washington Post goes on, they say, for nearly 50 years, it's been legal to have an abortion in America, yet stubbornly taboo to show one on television or film. But that is changing. Hollywood is writing abortion into its storylines, including it as one more possible plot point. A quote from Melanie Russell Newman, Planned Parenthood's Senior Vice President of Communication and Culture. She says, quote, a lot of people learn about sexual and reproductive health care through pop culture and entertainment programs. We've seen pop culture change views around LGBTQILSMFT issues, for example, and pop culture has the power to challenge abortion stigma, too. Her jaw clenched there at the end, the veins bulging out of her forehead. She says, pop culture has the power to challenge abortion stigma, too. And she's right about that. As a matter of fact, and this is just an accident of what I just remembered 10 minutes ago. If I remember correctly, one of the movies that had a tremendous impact on my behavior as a young teenager, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, it had an abortion written into the storyline. There was an abortion. And basically, it was uncomfortable and it was unpleasant, but you know what? You'll get over it. We can still be friends, if I remember the storyline correctly. So Hollywood is in cahoots with the blood-soaked child murderers of Planned Parenthood, and they're writing abortion into the storylines. I have a quote here from Gretchen Sison, a sociologist at UC San Francisco. She says, quote, the potential of pop culture, and particularly television, is that it doesn't need to wait for policy progress to happen. It's an area where we can continue to do work no matter who's on the Supreme Court. The article is couched in the idea that somehow women are about to lose their right to murder their own children because of Brett Kavanaugh. Or where they get that idea, I have no idea. Anyway, in fact, what's actually happened is that the pro-life side has become pro-abortion, except for some really, really late-term cases. That's what's actually happened. So the child killers have, for all intents and purposes, they have won the culture war. When they actually won it 40 years ago when they started murdering babies in front of God and everybody and nobody stopped them. And now they're writing it into the movies. Anyway, I encourage you not to consume pop culture. I've lost interest in it. I find it unattractive. It's like people in Portland. I have no desire. The latest movie is coming out. Woo, woo, woo. I don't get that anymore. I don't have it anymore.
You ever had that?
Yeah, probably when I was like 12 or 14 or 15, you know. No, actually, by that time, I was into the latest album coming out, which I don't have that anymore either. I've lost all of that. I've lost interest in pop culture. Well, I think the more you get to know God, the less attractive pop culture becomes. And so I've gotten to know God well enough that pop culture generally makes me uncomfortable and I find it distasteful. That's all. Do I have anything else? Oh, then they go on in this article. The Washington Post goes on to quote some pro-life industry hacks. These are the people who've now become pro-abortion, except for some cases. They call themselves pro-life. But anyway, I'm not even going to quote them because their protestations are pathetic and useless and of no value. Yeah. So I can't remember who said it. Someone said, give me the child at 7 and I will give you the man at 70. I think it was Aquinas. And he was talking about religious education, I think. But it's really true about pop culture. If you allow your children to start consuming pop culture in their formative years, That's who they're going to. Well, there's a good chance they're going to end up being that when they actually grow up in the real world. So I just don't consume it anymore. And I wish there's so many things I wish I could unsee from my time in government school and growing up in America. There's so many things I wish if I knew then what I know now, I would have never looked at that. I would have never consumed that. But I was told by my teachers and my friends, all my peers in the government school, that the bad stuff was fun, and that's what you want, to consume that. And so you get out there, you get it on you, and then you get it in you, and then it's really no joke. I mean, I know the Joker's coming out this week, but this is no joke. This is life and death. Life is not a dress rehearsal. We only go once around the ride. That's it. And then it's on into eternity. I mean, we're already in eternity. But we're going to go on to another world, and that's going to be a long, long, long time compared to our measly 70 or 80 years here on this planet. So, okay, that's it. I don't want to get preachy. I don't think I can do this story, especially right before a break. Okay, let's see. Let's talk about the child at 7. Give me the child at 7. I'll give you the man at 70. I think it was Aquinas. I have to look that up. But it's so true. So listen to this. Orlando, Florida, WFLA reports that a 6-year-old has been arrested for throwing a tantrum. That's right. The 6-year-old started throwing a tantrum at Emma Nixon Elementary School, qualifying this as reason number 1,211 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Emma Nixon Elementary Charter School was just going along brainwashing the children, teaching them leftist ideals, telling them that they evolved from nothing and that there's no God and they don't know where, I don't know where you are, I don't know where you're going, kid. I'm just here to teach you math. And I'm not even going to do a good job of that. Well, that was all going on. And one little 6-year-old kicked somebody. Uh-huh. A teacher or someone. So what do the hapless liberals do? They call the police because they don't know how to raise a child. They're completely unqualified to properly discipline a child. So they call the police. The police come. First grader Kaya was handcuffed, fingerprinted, and had her mug shot taken. That's right. Now, grandma was called to the school probably because this girl's parents don't even know each other anymore, and her mother's probably in rehab somewhere or in a crack house. So grandma has to come to pick the girl up from school, and what does grandma say? No 6-year-old child should be in the back of a police car, fingerprinted, getting a mugshot taken. That's grandma's take on the whole situation. See, grandma says the disorienting chaos was too much to process, right? And grandma claims Kaya has a medical condition. She got sleep apnea. That's why she got all mad and was kicking on people. She got sleep apnea. All right, Grandma. WFLA reports that Kaya got out of jail. They bailed her out. 6-year-old. She's back home. Says Kaya is happy to be back home. Now, everyone else in the household still miserable. Very miserable. But Kaya's out and Kaya's home. Hey, Grandma, you shouldn't be angry that your child got arrested for having a temper tantrum. You should be thankful that somebody did something to try to make an attempt at disciplining your grandchild. And you should get your kid out of the government. If you're so mad about them arresting her, then get your kid out of the government school. It could be the first smart thing you've done for the kid in this poor kid's abusive and sad 6-year-old history. Thank you. Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you, Mr. Johnson, for that short break facilitated me eating a fun-size Hershey's Crackle bar. Because chocolate is good for the vocal cords. And it's an antioxidant as well. I believe it has anti-inflammatory properties. So that's it. Crackle, it has rice. I don't know if it's gluten-free.
Rice is gluten-free.
Rice is gluten-free, is it? Okay. All right. Well, then this Crackle bar is gluten-free on top of all of that. It's good stuff. All right. So thank you, Mr. Johnson, for allowing me to have enough time to eat that. It was a fun size, bite-sized Crackle, but I actually ate it in two bites because I'm trying to exercise some self-control, some self-discipline. So I eat the bite size in two bites. All right. So, there's two stories here that are just so disturbing that I'm really not sure which one to start with. So I had lunch with a friend. We didn't actually eat any food, but we got together around lunchtime. And he told me that my show is, it can be very depressing, and it can leave him kind of depressed, and he thanked me for that. He was like, man, some of the stuff you report on, man, it's just brutal. It's hard to listen to. Well, here's two of those, and I apologize in advance, but this is the real world. This is from the Hell on Earth file. On August 7th, a pregnant patient had gone into a clinic. At the clinic, a mix-up in medical charts and a failure to check her identity led to a mistaken abortion. This is reported by CNN. So the way CNN puts this, so this woman went into the hospital. She was supposed to get a nutritional shot with those, the vitamins for the pregnant woman. Instead, they put her under and killed her child. Now, if abortion was illegal, this could never happen. But because you've got people murdering children on a regular basis, a mix-up is a possibility, and that's what happened. The way CNN reported this, I want to hit someone with a 2x4, figuratively, rhetorically. They say a pregnant patient with a 6-week-old fetus went into a clinic. That's how they put it. But by the way, this was in South Korea. South Korea moved to legalize abortion in April of this year, which with the country's constitutional court ruling that lawmakers in Korea must revise existing laws by December 31st of next year. So if they just moved to legalize abortion, how is it that an accidental abortion gets committed against this woman? Well, because abortion isn't illegal in Korea. Under existing law, the practice remains illegal. except. And see, once you say except, when you're talking about murdering people, that means that murder is legal, that's all. And it's just a matter of how far are we going to expand that definition? And how many bureaucratic loopholes are we going to make people go through in order to murder someone? But once you've legalized murder, there really is no such thing as except. I'm sorry. There really is no such thing. Anyone can be murdered. Under existing law, by the way, exceptions to the alleged illegality of abortion. Exceptions are granted where the parents have hereditary diseases, the pregnancy is due to rape or incest, or the fetus is threatening the life of the mother, which all of those are very open to interpretation, so that you can pretty much fit any abortion you want through one of those loopholes. An estimated 50,000 abortions in Korea last year. The numbers may be much higher since everybody's lying about it and hiding it. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine this mother? This is hell on earth. She's got to be living through hell on earth right now. Anyway, so there may be charges brought against the hospital, but maybe not. There may be some civil action. I'm sure that will occur. But yeah, how does that help when they've murdered your child? Just unbelievable. Horrible. Collateral damage, right? Collateral damage in the long war against God. And in New York, this is just... The New York Post reports, and I'll link to this. The video is astonishing.
Cell phone video was posted online of a 5-year-old girl crawling out from under a Bronx subway car. Why was she crawling out from under a Bronx subway car? Because her suicidal father had just leaped in front of the subway with her in his arms. The girl's dad, a 45-year-old Bronx man, lifted the girl into his arms and leaped in front of an oncoming train at about 8 o'clock in the morning in front of everyone. He died. He was killed. His life ended in front of horrified commuters, but miraculously, she was nearly unscathed. A few bumps and scratches was all she had. In the video, she can be heard wailing. The girl was reunited with her mom later that just... Wow. So this is a story that at one time would have shocked the nation. The whole nation would have stopped and focused on such a horrible thing. It would have been it would have led all three network news broadcasts. It would have been on the front page of every newspaper in America. That's so shocking and horrible. But it barely makes the crawl on CNN, and it makes somewhere toward the middle of the New York Post, because we are awash in violence, bloodshed, suicide, murder, chaos, comic books. All right. Just awful. All right, now we go to reason number 1,211 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. In Austin Independent School District in Texas is formulating a new sex ed curriculum for grades 3-8. Okay, stop right there. First of all, there shouldn't be a sex ed curriculum at all in school. But we'll continue because they're going to continue. The curriculum is being developed in part by Planned Parenthood. The curriculum will promote high-risk LGBT lifestyles, according to TexasScorecard.com. One hapless citizen, Lori, who feeds her children into the government schools, is concerned about this. She says, "These types of lessons are sexualizing our children. Please focus on reading, writing, and arithmetic." Yeah, right. Okay. Okay, Mom. She says... "I oppose the sex ed program. Sixth graders will be engaging in written scenarios to propose solutions to homophobia," said another hapless mom, Carol, the founder of a local group, Concerned Parents of Texas. "We're concerned, you see, not concerned enough to take our children out because, you know, I gotta go to work." She says, "This will create a climate that pits students against one another and violates students' right to hold a different opinion regarding the boundaries of sexual behavior according to their family's values." The boundaries of sexual behavior? And this is the lady who's against Planned Parenthood. This is just a tragedy. A tragedy of epic proportion. That the people perceived as trying to do the right thing don't even know what they're doing. You know what the boundaries of sexual behavior are, Mom? Between two people who are married for life. Those are the boundaries. There's not room to extrapolate from that. But she doesn't know that. She thinks the boundaries of sexual behavior are based on my family's values. My family's values might be different than your family's values. We may have different boundaries of sexual behavior. All right. So both sides are flailing away, one in ignorance and just haplessness, and the other in malevolent evil. Anyway, another hapless mom says, "I consider this a direct assault on Hispanic family culture." Hispanic family culture. Okay. I don't know. I guess because they're Catholics. It's just unbelievable to me. Let's see. We have Mary Elizabeth Castle with Texas Values. Had a pre-meeting rally. They're rallying. Hapless mom, Mary, says, "It's time for us to stand up to the board and tell them to go back to the drawing board." Okay, here's the thing, Mom. If they drew this up, I certainly don't trust them to go back to the drawing board. I mean, how do you think this gets... If someone comes up with something like this and says they want to teach this to my kid, first of all, you're going to have to physically restrain me from strangling them. And second, I want them arrested. I don't want them writing anything. But neither side knows... Well, one side knows what they're doing. They're the malevolent evil, the Planned Parenthood, the administrators at Austin Independent School District in Texas. They're malevolent evil. And the reason they're winning is because our side doesn't even know what we're doing anymore. Go back to the drawing board. Austin Independent School District, by the way, hosts an annual Pride Week in their schools and encourages children on social media to march in the Austin Pride Parade every summer. Nice. That's the culture at the school, Mom. How can you drop your kid off there and then get upset when they want to have Planned Parenthood come in and teach you queer your children? I mean, are you just blind? By the way, there's a Facebook post from the school district, Austin Independent School District. A recent Facebook post says, the AISD marching band will perform and march alongside AISD principals, teachers, staff, students, and parents in the upcoming Gay Pride Parade. All right. Okay, reason number 1211, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. The teachers and Planned Parenthood want to queer them up is what's going on. All right. Now we go to the dim new world file. In Sacramento, there's a McDonald's where bums tend to loiter. Imagine that. It's a popular homeless hangout site. So what is the solution for the poor people at McDonald's? They've installed a siren that they blast off the siren regularly to drive the homeless away from the McDonald's. The owner says, we've been working with the local police to discourage loitering, when apparently that's not working. So they've gone to a siren. You're sitting there enjoying your Big Mac and your fries and whoa! All of a sudden your ears are bleeding. And you watch the bums, they just roll over and put their dirty blanket over their ears. So anyway, that's really a sad state of affairs when we have the homeless, the bums, I should say, homeless, please. When we have to... Where were we where they had all the noise? We were on a trip somewhere. Oh, yeah. San Diego, there's a little underpass where the homeless obviously like to sleep because there's shade. And so you go through there, and it's some of the most annoying sounds you've ever heard. They've got them blasting over the speakers. Bagpipes, was it? Yeah, it was bagpipes being played badly to drive the homeless out of this. It's unbelievable. All right, well, speaking of California, we got one more here from the politics file. The Environmental Protection Agency in Washington is concerned that California is failing to meet its obligations on environmental issues. And the EPA is worried about human waste washing into the Pacific and San Francisco Bay. Untreated human waste is going to get into the water supply. That's how filthy some of the cities in California have become. The Pacific Ocean and San Francisco Bay are threatened by raw human sewage because these people are using the bathroom in the street. Anyway, the Environmental Protection Agency has threatened federal intervention and given California 30 days to respond to their concerns that the homeless may be poisoning the water supply. Okay, just unbelievable. All right, so let's see. I got three sailors assigned to the USS George H.W. Bush killed themselves in the space of a week in separate incidents. Yeah. They're the third, fourth, and fifth sailors to commit suicide in a two-year period. And the captain says, we need all hands to engage and bring forward your suggestions and ideas for how to prevent another suicide. There's never any stigma from seeking help. The problem is there's no stigma against suicide anymore. There used to be a shameful thing to kill yourself. Now it's just another option. So you're depressed, you know, maybe you didn't get the shore leave you wanted and you just decide to kill yourself. But my guess is it's more related to sexual immorality, premarital sex, PMS suicides. All right. Meanwhile, from the culture file, got Gabe Dean, he's a man in Texas. He says he was first exposed to pornography when he was 8 years old. Cable TV, he said, I'd stay up late at night. He said at 12, my family got high-speed internet. And, well, he goes on to tell his story. I'll link to this. It's a story of almost every kid, almost every male who grew up in America. This is his story. Except now there's the high-speed internet. We didn't have that when I was. Anyway, according to studies, children are typically first exposed to pornography at age 13. By the time Gabe was 23, he couldn't maintain a healthy relationship. He had to go through counseling and therapy and all kinds of stuff. He says he's recovered now. And CBS interviewed him, asked him, is this a public health crisis? And he responded, he said, I definitely would call it a public health issue. In fact, more than a dozen states have passed bills deeming pornography an epidemic that is harming people. States which have deemed pornography a public health crisis may now provide... See, this is where you lose them. May now provide money and resources to raise awareness about the impact of porn addiction. Okay, we don't need to raise money and raise awareness. We need to make it out. We need to outlaw it. And we need to stop the production of it. And the people who keep producing it should be arrested and thrown in jail or beaten for crying out loud. But no, now we're going to have access to government money. So we're going to make pornography just a... Now we're going to make raising awareness about pornography a growth industry. Instead of just doing what needs to be done, recriminalize pornography the way it was for the first 200 years of our nation's existence, for crying out loud. That stuff should be against the law. All right, so there. Not to put too fine on a point on it, but that's my point. That's it for the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank you for tuning in. I encourage you to visit realscienceradio.com and to peruse AmericanRightToLife.com. And if you have a chance at all, chat it up with my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. Should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.